crying out for wisdom. It's not a passive thing. It's not, well, if it comes, it comes. If it's God's will, he'll give it to me. It's, I have it in Christ. No, there is the deliberate pursuit of wisdom. And James, he says, if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you, and he'll give it to you extravagantly, abundantly. Well, hey there, thanks for joining us once again. As I mentioned last week, I wanted you to take a look at Proverbs chapter 2. And so if you're able, you have a Bible with you, open it to chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses here. I'm impressed with the role of passion in wisdom. Now, I've heard said, I don't know who said it, but I grew up listening to people talk about wisdom and that wisdom was kind of stoic and without emotion. It was just kind of this cerebral approach to life. And it just isn't. Wisdom is filled with emotion. In fact, we'll look at it later in chapter 8, where the person of wisdom rejoices in the sons and daughters of men. There's this celebratory element to wisdom. So it's not like Spock on Star Trek or something. It's not the person without emotion. And that's oftentimes in a church. That's what's held up as the example of wisdom, and it's just not. Wisdom is celebratory in nature. So let's take a look at this. We're going to look at the first five verses. Verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is interesting. In the pursuit of wisdom, the pursuit itself has an effect on our perception. It changes what we learn to see and to recognize in life. I don't know, you've probably had this happen where you buy a certain kind of car and then you didn't see that color of car anywhere, or that model of car anywhere, and then all of a sudden it's everywhere. You become patterned to recognize certain things. In the kingdom, that is even more so true, where we set our hearts and minds on specific things. And in doing so, we pick up the hints of God all through life, where he's speaking to us. Here's what stands out to me out of this pursuit of wisdom. Number one, we see often in Scripture that often in Proverbs, Solomon will say, wisdom is better than gold. Silver is better than rubies. There'll be these statements. Now think about this. If I truly value wisdom above silver and gold, above money, above things, if that's reality in my life, then I will be able to point to places in my life where it cost me to choose wisdom. It has to be measurable. It's not a philosophic thing. It's not just this where we talk about wisdom in all these flowery terms. It's actually a statement of fact. I have chosen wisdom. I chose this direction, and it cost me. Now, we know from reading the study of wisdom, that it always ends up better and more prosperous, if you will. It's a strange thing. Choose wisdom instead of money, and yet wisdom brings increase of resource. But it's very similar to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't seek the things, seek the kingdom, and he'll add these other elements to your life. It's exactly the same with wisdom. And that's why I think they run a parallel course. So back to the subject here. If you cry out for discernment, if you seek her as silver, search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Here's one of the most necessary elements. Let me rephrase it. One of the most missing elements in this culture right now is the fear of God. And we have many who attempt to make it palatable, to make the fear of God anything but what it is. Well, it just means reverence. Well, actually, it's a whole lot more than reverence. The fear of God is the fear of God. It's a fear of God. However, the fear of God biblically draws us to him, brings us into dependency upon him. the fear that is not from God drives people away from him. And there is that distinction and that difference. The pursuit of wisdom gives us that clarifying perception on the value of the fear of the Lord. In fact, in the Psalms, it says the fear of God is actually the beginning of wisdom. So it's pretty tough to develop a lifestyle of wisdom without the fear of God. It's actually the foundation upon which this subject is built. That's why we see in Solomon, that's why we see in David, the prevailing themes of the fear of God. God, I'm a child. I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to hear from you. You'll have to show me what to do. Give me the directions to take because I couldn't do it on my own. There's this absolute dependency. And that kind of trust is the offspring, if you will, of the fear of God, because the fear of God brings me to him. It doesn't drive me from him. I love, it goes on to say here that if you seek for her silver, hidden treasures, you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I don't know if that fascinates anybody else, but he's pretty smart. He knows a lot of stuff. And he's actually invited us into this, it's like a journey where he would share secrets with us. In fact, we see it in John chapter 3. He says that he knows what has happened in life and he wants to share that history, that testimony with his own children. We see it with scripture that in the book of Daniel, that he has reserved mysteries for his own children. We see it in the Gospel of Luke, where he says it's his delight to give us the mysteries of the kingdom. So we live in a world where it's so easy to become burdened down with the problems and the cares of life that we forget the delight of discovering the actual knowledge of God, what he knows about life itself. Because every time he reveals knowledge, that knowledge empowers personal transformation and personal place of an extended opportunity or lifestyle of actual worship and surrender. I want to pray that for you. In fact, I do. I pray that together we would learn the passion. First of all, you see, crying out for wisdom. It's not a passive thing. It's not, well, if it comes, it comes. If it's God's will, he'll give it to me. Or it's I have it in Christ. No, there is the deliberate pursuit of wisdom. In James, he says, if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you. And he'll give it to you extravagantly, abundantly. So we do that. We pray, God, give us wisdom, the knowledge of God. Open up to us the joy and the delight of discovering hidden things. Let that be the pursuit of this particular generation in our heart for you. And let it be with true expression of emotion and passion to apprehend the very purpose for which we were created. I pray that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Next week, we're going to look at chapter 3 of Proverbs. And we're going to go to one of my most favorite portions of Scripture in the whole Bible. It's absolutely true. In fact, the next two, we're going to cover key passages in my life. And next week, we're going to look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. We're going to take a good look at that one. And I pray something opens up for every one of us to really expand on our dependency on God. I bless you in Jesus' name.